Leary, reel 15.
Right. Was the mess on Arab fairly comfortable? What were you like for sort of space and
Well, it was all right for your clothes because in them boats you had a locker, you see, as you could put all your clothes in, you see. You had your own locker, and you could still lift the lid off and put your clothes in, and lift the lid off, put your clothes back. But it was much comfortable than being in barracks, although it was, a dirty little ship.
Was there plenty of room for slinging your hammocks?
Oh yes, plenty of room for slinging your hammocks in them. They used to, the armament on them used to be two torpedo tubes that was on the upper deck, and depth charges both sides of the rear of the ship, the stern of the ship, where they could drop them off. They was
Yes,
like on a bit of a
yes.
chute.
About the mess, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you. When you weren't on duty, how would you spend your time? What kind of things would you do?
Oh, you might go have a game at crib in the mess or something like that. But you came off watch. You had a bath. You got into a few of your other old clothes, you see. And you did most probably have a one meal to come. And by that time, you could say there was a good hour gone, you see. So you might lay down on these lockers, you see, and have a bit of a doze or something like that if you didn't get rolled off them with the ship on the roll all the time. You used to pass it away. You might be writing, scribbling a bit of a letter home or something like that, you see, on the mess deck table, like that.
Did many of the lower deck have sort of hobbies or did they study or anything like that?
No, there was no studying. No, there was no studying.
What about hobbies?
Well, one thing they used to do, they used to try and get these gauge glass, water glass tubes, as I was telling you. They used to fit in front of the boiler to see your depth of water. And if they could get one of them and some cotton waste, you see, cotton waste, it's all colours in it, bits of old cotton and all in it. And they used to get these here bits of colour and settle, get them out all in the different colours on the mess deck table. And then start working designs up into the centre of these water tubes, you see. But that was about all as I ever seen. There was no such thing as making rugs or anything like that.
What was discipline like on Arab?
Well, on Arab, you see, we used to run into Scabba Flow, and it was non-existent really going ashore there, because if you got ashore, you could only go ashore for exercise. And you was back again, you see, to the boat. But it was shore leave there, it was practically non-existent. Nobody would hardly go ashore, you.
Was discipline aboard Arab less strict than, say, on shore?
Oh, it was practically, everybody on them ships, they knew the job, you see. And you had your own hooksie where you hung your hammock up, and you see, you all had your own sort of space. You had your own boiler when you went on watch, And it was happy, and especially for me coming away from my Dardanelles, well, oh, it was good, but it was very, very dirty. You could spit out and you'd spit coal dust when you was down below,
As a general rule, were shore postings popular or unpopular?
The which?
Shore postings, were they popular or unpopular?
Oh, well, if you was shore postings, if you was nearly ready for, or nearly finished your time, and you was coming out of the Navy, you could perhaps get a show of postings, you see, in the barracks, and you'd stay in the barracks until you was time up. Or you might get sent to one of these boats like I went on for about 3 months, second-class men and second-class leave, doing auxiliary watch-keeping.
I see. When you went back to base, as you did from time to time at Scapa Flow, what was Scapa Flow like in those days?
Well, there were these, you know, the big battleships was in there, laying the tanker. You come through the boom defence, and then we went over to Leander, which was the parent ship, as I said. And we'd tie up alongside her, and all the boilers, like, we'd let them die out. And we used to go in, you see, for boiler cleaning. And they'd die out, and all ashes to be taken out, and etc. And we'd go into the uptakes. It was a general clean of the boiler, even to the uptakes where the steam used to go, you know, and water. That was before it really got into the tubes coming, like, from the tanks. And there used to be all zinc slabs fastened in them, zinc. Well, the zinc slabs was to take the acids, if any had got in it, out of the water. And as a matter of fact, there was very smallish manholes to get in. And when you got in them, you couldn't turn around or anything like that. You had to get out the best way you could, slide out backwards. But a fat man couldn't get in. If he did, he'd never get out.
This was actually inside the boiler itself, was it?
This was at what they call the uptakes, where the tubes from the furnace, you see, are like over, and your steam goes into them first, you see, straight up through them, and then into your main steam pipe. But, you know, if you had a light in them uptakes, they was that clean you could see your face, as good as a looking glass, and there was iron, and you had to take these zinc slabs out, and they used to take them out and use hammer on them to knock all the scale off them, you see. And if they was too bad, then they'd fasten them back again. There was just brackets inside the uptakes and a nut and bolt, two nuts and bolts, and you used to screw them up tight, you see, to take all the impurities out of the steam or anything.
What sort of job was actually cleaning out the stokehold?
You mean
the boiler?
Clean out the boilers. Mm. You see, the water tube boilers, and you had a long wire brush, a great long one, and you had to go around all the outsides of the tubes, you see, because the water and everything passed through the middle of these tubes, you see. And if you open the door, the furnace door, and you look up, there was all your tubes there, you see, all these tubes. And you had to clean them all, you know, with these wire brushes. You'd get all the dust and soot and all that off them, you see. And I'm telling you, it's a proper mucky job. And it was all dirt, you see. They were all fluffing about and dirty old job. Well,
presumably you'd have to recoal while you were at Scapa as well.
Recoal?
Recoal.
Oh, yes, you'd do recoal.
What sort of operation was that with Arab?
With Arab?
Yeah, how would you do it?
Well, you do it, the boat, coal boat come alongside, and it was tipped onto the deck. They had kind of grabs, you see, to drop it on the deck, and you got them as near to the manhole as you could and kept on slipping it into the manhole till you got as much in as you could. Sometimes you wouldn't have much to take in, but you always had to fill up before you went out.
Yeah. While you're in Scapa, how would you spend your time? What would the routine be while you were in Scapa, after you'd cleaned up?
Well, Scapa Flow, there was practically nothing there. It was, if you went ashore, you'd only be walking on, you might say, the side of ale or something like that. There was no life there at all. It was, you'd just go for a walk and then come back to the boat. And
no pubs? No pubs?
No, I never seen no pub. But we could get beer and that off the Leander when we was there. But we were glad to get away from Leander would like to be outside again, although he wasn't much better. But he was better off outside, you know, even in your watch, although it was so dirty and all that business.
Now, when you paid off the Arab in December of 1916, could you tell me, from your point of view, for the ship, what was involved in paying off? What was the sort of routine?
Well, it's just a matter of packing all your gear up and in your kit bag and everything like that. But we had to go back, I think it was to Dundee again. Something had gone wrong with the boilers or something, or the engine.
But during paying off, would anything else happen apart from packing up? I mean, would you get paid, for example?
Oh, no. You'd be perhaps... You might be due for any pay there, but when you went into barracks, that was carried on like to barracks, you see, with your papers sort of thing.
I see.
And your money would be made up there.
Right. Now, your next ship was in 1917, in July of 1917, you went to HMS Wolfe. Was she the same kind of ship as the Arab?
Exactly.
No differences at all?
No difference at all.
Was your life aboard the Wolf any different than it had been aboard the Arab?
Well, it had been better.
Why was it better?
Oh, because we were stationed at Stranraer, where the boat ran, the mail boat ran across to Larne in Ireland, and that was our job, escorting it. And when we used to come in and had nothing special to do, we used to come into Stranraer and get leave, night leave, for, well, till midnight. Well, the job of the Wolf was escorting this boat across, and the escorting was full speed ahead. We had to run round her, crossing bows, and it was just like, well, I don't know, full speed ahead all the way until we got from Loch Ryan, that's the entrance to Stranraer. Stranraer lays down in the bottom of the Loch Ryan, down at the bottom end of it. And we'd meet her coming out of the lock, Loch Ryan. And it'd be full speed ahead then. And we had to do chase round her all the way. She used to zigzag and we used to zigzag with her the opposite way sort of thing, you know, so to give a safe passage across to Larne. Well, as soon as we got to Larne, we used to break off, you see, our speed ahead. And most probably then we'd go up on patrol from... the Mullican Tyre to the Mullagalway. That's the straightest stretch of water from Scotland to Ireland. And we do about, oh, 6 or 7 knots. And it was, we'd go crossing to and fro, just across, back again, and cross again.
Were there ever any incidents while you had this duty?
No.
There weren't?
No.
Right.
But then, towards evening, we'd have to come back to outside Larne and wait for the mail boat. We'd keep patrolling all round about, you see, expecting that if there was any submarine about, she'd fire a torpedo at us. And of course, we'd say, oh, well, they won't fire a torpedo, but any road. We'd wait for the mail boat coming out. And then we'd full speed ahead, and we'd escort her across to Loch Ryan. Mm. Now, if the skipper was in a good mood or anything like that, we'd go straight in with the boat, just at a stern, and straight down to the railway station at the bottom of the loch. And if he was in a good mood, he'd say, all right, we'll pack up for the night, and we'd bank all the fires, you see, and... leave for so-and-so. So many men could go on leave, you know, into Stranraer. But so many would have to stay aboard.
Yeah. Apart from the fact that you obviously enjoyed Stranraer more than you did Scapa Flow. Did you enjoy Wolf more as a ship?
Yes.
You did. Why?
Well, it was more, escorting a ship was, for one reason, was better than just patrolling about and waiting for something to come and all that sort of business. You escorted a boat, you felt as though you was doing something.
I was really getting at whether the conditions aboard Wolf were better in any ways than Arab, whether it was a happier ship.
Well, it was more friendly anyway. It was a happier ship. If you was going ashore at Stranraer, what did you do? We used to have an old book up near the funnel, you see, when we was in Stranraer. And if you was going ashore, you'd just go to this book and you'd write your name in it, you see, and put the time down. Going ashore. You go ashore, and when you come back, all you do is get the book and put return such a time, you see. And there was no navy about it. No navy at all. There was no discipline at all on that ship. As a matter of fact, the skipper, he used to take... the one fella got into very serious trouble. He'd overstayed his leave. Another fella had got drunk one time ashore and been fetched back to the ship. Well, the skipper, he was a Canadian, but anyway, the following day, he had them, each one separately, into his cabin at the back. And he gave them so much extra duties to do and leave stopped and things like that. And after about a week, he sent to each one individually and told the coxswain to bring so-and-so in and he'd come in and he'd give them a good talking to, you see, about being naughty little boys and all like that. And did they think they was worth, did they think that the punishment was worth the enjoyment they'd got through breaking the leave and all like this? And he'd say, well, now here's a tot of rum, you're having a tot of rum with me, and don't let this happen again. And if I see you ashore, it'll be all right. And as a matter of fact, this skipper off the Wolf, if he come in the same pub where two or three of you was, there was always extra pint for you. He was a good sort.